Good morning, brother and sister. So we have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with humility, and we ask that you be gracious not only to the one who speaks and also to those who hear. And help us not to be ignorant. We confess before you, just like the preacher that is recorded in the book of Proverbs. He confessed before you that he is the most ignorant of men. And he said that he does not have a man understanding. And he said that he has not learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the Holy One. Lord, I pray that when we humble ourselves and we ask that you be gracious to us, I ask that you speak to us through the 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In those days, how you give the wisdom and knowledge to your servant, Apostle Paul, and so that he can write down the precious word and pass along to us, even Gentile. And I pray that you open our eyes that we can see wonderful things that's written in this portion of the scripture, and also open our ear that we can hear, and open our heart that we can hide it within our heart, so that from being an ignorant man, we pray that we be a wise, not in our own sight, but in your sight. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, verse 1, and Paul said that, "Now about spiritual gifts, brother, I do not want you to be ignorant." And we have to confess that we are ignorant, because otherwise he won't say that, "I do not want you to be ignorant." What kind of ignorance that he's talking about? Number one, in verse 11, "All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives the spiritual gifts to them. He gives spiritual gifts to each one just as he determines." There's a few things that we are ignorant about. When we read the Chinese one, because I remember what the preacher say, he say at least every Christian have at least one spiritual gift, and that is wrong. It's not one. It's more than one. You read the English Bible, Chinese one, you don't see that. The English one, you see very clear. We confess that we are ignorant because we hear someone say, and then we regurgitate what he say. Until we read the Bible ourselves, we find out, no, he's wrong. The Holy Spirit will give spiritual gifts, plural, to each one, just as the Holy Spirit determined. If he determined that you are worthy to get more, he will give you more. But that determination, that decision, is by the Holy Spirit. So this is the first thing that we confess, that we are ignorant. And most of the time when we hear the preacher say, we just take every word of it. We don't go home and study it ourselves. Until we study, we find out some of the things that he said may not be right. So help us to be like the church of Berea. When Paul preached in that church, and they study daily and examine the scripture to see whether what he said is right and wrong. I say that one more time. The Holy Spirit give them, not give one, give them to each one, just as the Holy Spirit determined. The second thing that we are
ignorance about. We say, well, if the Holy Spirit determined that, Holy Spirit will not change his decision. That's not true. You write that down, right beside just as he determined. You write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. At the end of this chapter, Paul said that, but eagerly desire the greater gifts. In other words, although the spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit, by the one Spirit, by the same Spirit, just as he determined, but if you want more, you can ask for more. But whether he give it to you or not, that's a different story. He won't hurt your ass. Okay? So these are the ignorant thing that we are. Another ignorant thing about that is we thought that there are more than one Spirit, and not knowing that. All these spiritual gifts given by the Holy Spirit, they are the work of the one and the same Spirit. In other words, when the same Spirit who give me the Holy spiritual gift and give you the Holy Spirit, give you the spiritual gift, and then together we can serve God for the benefit of the one body. Same Spirit, one Spirit, and only one body. If it's only one body, in verse 12, the body is a unit. It's only one. Right beside the body is a unit, you write down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit. And just as you were called to one hope when you were called. So the body is one unit. We should not divide the body. The body is one unit, though it is made up of many parts, and through all its parts, those all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greek, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. All these things that we are ignorant about, and I will explain it in detail later on. Okay, now go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now about spiritual gifts, brother, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagan, that means when you were unbeliever, when you were ignorant about who Jesus Christ is, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mere idol. I want you to write that down right beside chapter 12, verse 2. I want you to write that down, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgression and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the way of this world, and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That spirit, you write that down. That spirit is evil spirit. The evil spirit is the ruler of the kingdom of the earth, of the air. The evil spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. When we are disobedient, then we become the object of God's wrath. So that's why in chapter 2, verse 3, all of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the craving of our sinful nature and following its desire and thought like the rest, like the pagan. We were by nature objects of wrath. We were by nature objects of wrath. Why? Because we are disobedient. I want you to write that down. Write that down right beside your Bible. If we are disobedient, that means the evil spirit works in your heart. If you are obedient, the Holy Spirit works within your heart. So in other words, based upon 1 Corinthians chapter 12, based upon Ephesians, when I put it together, I know one thing, and I no longer become ignorant. You either have the Holy Spirit work in you, or you have the evil spirit work in you. But when you are disobedient to the word of the Lord, you know that you follow the evil spirit because he led you astray. He caused you to be the object of God's wrath. But when you obey God, obey his word, you are led by the Holy Spirit and you become Romans chapter 9 from 22, that's the object of God's wrath. You are transformed from object of God's wrath to 9:23, object of God's mercy. Object of God's wrath, prepare for destruction. Object of God's mercy, prepare in advance for glory. A lot of people, they don't realize. We are ignorant about that. We don't realize if we don't obey God, we think nothing happened. Come on. If you disobey God, that means you are under the influence. You are under the influence. You are led astray by the evil spirit. And because of God's jealousy, his wrath will come upon you. And you will suffer pain. But if you obey God, and you live a righteous life, and you still suffer, but suffer for righteous sake, then God's mercy is upon you. And he promised you, you're going to receive glory. Because you are the object of his mercy, prepare in advance for glory. So, I pray that you understand that and hide that within your heart so that we won't so easily sin against God. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced by the evil spirit, led astray by the evil spirit to mute idol, and then you serve the mute idol. You are not serving the Almighty God. The reason why God gave us the Holy Spirit so that we are empowered to serve him. Verse 3, therefore I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God say Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In here, he just tells two scenarios. The first scenario is, if you are speaking by the Spirit of God, you won't say Jesus be cursed. And then another scenario is, when you are speaking by the Holy Spirit, you will say Jesus is Lord. So what is the work of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. The Holy Spirit will give you knowledge.
that you know that Jesus is the one who died for our sins. He is a blessed Jesus. He is good. And he is good to all that he made, especially to those who call on his name. Then you won't curse Jesus. If you curse Jesus, that means you are filled with the Holy, that means you're filled with the evil spirit. Okay? But when you're moved by the Holy Spirit, then you say Jesus is Lord. Brother and sister, I give you another scenario. When there's a lot of people say Jesus is Lord, then you follow them, you say Jesus is Lord. When a lot of people say Jesus is not the Lord, then you say Jesus is not the Lord. You are not moved by the Holy Spirit. You are moved by the people. You understand? Then you won't be saved. You have to read the scripture yourself. You have to make up your mind. Are you following people? Or you follow the moving of the Holy Spirit? Follow the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to lead you to understand the truth. Jesus is Lord. The reason why Jesus Christ become a curse for us, as it is recorded in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Jesus Christ was hung on a tree, the righteous for the unrighteous, the sinless for the sinful. He'd become our curse, and then so that he can give us the blessing. In verse 14, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentile through Christ Jesus. So that by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we might receive the promise of the Spirit. When you receive the promise of the Spirit, I want you to write that down. Right beside the promise of the Spirit, you write down Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. When you receive the promise of the Holy Spirit, that means the Holy Spirit dwells within your heart, then you belong to Jesus Christ. Then you are Abraham's seed, and you are heir of God, co-heir with Christ, and you are God's children according to the promise. That means you will inherit eternal inheritance. You will be able to enter the millennium kingdom after the 7 year of tribulation. On top of that, you will be able to enter the new heaven and new earth, as it is recorded in Revelation chapter 21 and 22. That are the new heavens and new earth. You will be able to enter the kingdom of God with inheritance because you have the Holy Spirit. Brother and sister, I do not want you to be ignorant of that. A lot of people are ignorant of that. I want you to be able to say it out with your heart and you understand what you're saying. And then you go back to the scripture and read it and study it and examine it in detail to see whether it is true or not. Okay, go back. Without the Holy Spirit, you cannot inherit the inheritance. Not only Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, Galatians chapter 3 verse 29 is saying,
After Paul written the Galatians, he has written Ephesians. I want you to turn to Ephesians. If anything that is important, true, Paul will repeat it numerous times so that you can understand this is true. I want you to write that down right beside 3:13 Galatians and 3:29. You link it together and you write down Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. I do not want you to be ignorant. And I know a lot of people, they are ignorant of that. Verse 13, and you were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believe means believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you believe in it, you were marked in Him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The promised Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. Your inheritance, you write that down, Millennium Kingdom, after 7 years tribulation. Inheritance, you write that down. That is Isaiah chapter 65 and 66. That's the Millennium Kingdom. And I want you to write that down, Revelation chapter 21 and 22, the new heaven and new earth. Without the Holy Spirit, you won't get that. With the Holy Spirit, you can enter the kingdom of God. On earth, you can enter the kingdom of God in a new heaven and new earth. I say on earth is the old one. Okay? But go through renovation to become new, according to Isaiah 65. Okay? These are the work of the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, I don't care whether you come to the church or not. Without the Holy Spirit, you get nothing. Make sure before you leave here, you study that at home. Check it out. Okay? Okay. Let's go back. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12, verse 3. What are the work of the Holy Spirit? The work of the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, so that you can understand the truth, so that you love the truth, and you hate falsehood. And you know that Jesus Christ should not be cursed. He become cursed for us to redeem us, okay? And that is the truth. Unfortunately, until now, the Jewish people, majority of them, they say, cursed be to Jesus. That is really, really, really bad. That means they are moved by the evil spirit. They are not moved by the Holy Spirit. If you are moved by the Holy Spirit, you will say, Jesus Christ is my Lord, is my God, is my Savior, and I love Him. I won't curse Him. All right? Now, the first step is you know who Jesus is. The work of the Holy Spirit give you the ability to know who Jesus is. You know Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. Jesus is our Savior, is our Lord, is our God, our refuge, our fortress, our rock. Jesus is my all. It's everything. All this blessing come from Jesus. Who tell you that? The Holy Spirit tell me that. And I'm moved by the Holy Spirit to say that. Because all I just said everything come from the scripture. The Bible say, the word, Gospel of John, 6:63. The flesh come for nothing. The word gives life. The spirit also gives life. The word that I spoke to you, they are spirit and they are life. If you want to be moved by the Holy Spirit, you have to eat solid food. Feed yourself with the Word of God. You feed yourself with the Word of God. That means you fill yourself with the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says, we all drink from the same Spirit. Drink from the same Spirit, that means when you drink water, after a few hours, you have to go to the washroom and pass it out. It won't stay there. If it stays there, you're in deep trouble. Your feet will be swollen. You are just about to die because your kidney is not functioning. It's not working. In the same way, when you feed yourself with the Word of God, you have to feed yourself with the Word of God daily. Just like when you drink alcohol. You drink it. And lo and behold, when you are filled with the alcohol, then you are totally controlled by the alcohol. Just like Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 is saying. Do not get drunk. Drunkenness can lead to debauchery. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is exactly 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. That means we all have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, even though you have the Holy Spirit within your heart, then you will grieve the Holy Spirit. You quench the Spirit fire. Your sinful nature is still in control. Unless you keep on drinking the Holy Spirit, keep on filling with the Holy Spirit, keep on reading the Word of God, keep on letting the Word of God to control your mind, and all of a sudden, you are totally out of your own control of your sinful nature. You are totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. Then, when people look at you, they say, I see Jesus Christ lifting you. Keep going. Verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service. Service, you can, another translation, they say there are different kinds of ministry, but the same Lord. Verse 6. There are different kinds of working. Another translation say there are different kinds of function. But the same God work all of them in all men. We have one Spirit, one Lord, and one God. And that one God work in all Christians. And in all things. The English translation say work all of them. Another translation say work in all things. I want to work in all things, write down 8:25. We all know we are not ignorant about that. We all know. In all things, God work for the good of those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. If you love him, you know that you are called by Jesus Christ to follow him. You know that. God will work in all things for all men. He makes sure you get blessed.
but we have to be co-worker with him. Do not receive his grace and his blessing in vain. Verse 7, talk about the gifts, the spiritual gifts. Now to each one. The manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. I say one more time. Every Christian who confess Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Christ, Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus is God Almighty. If you confess it by the moving of the Holy Spirit, then he will enter into your heart. That's the promise. With the Holy Spirit in your heart, you will inherit the millennial kingdom. And you will enter the new heaven and new earth. But when you enter the millennial kingdom, but when you enter the new heaven and new earth, how do you enter? Do you enter just like Lord, with an empty hand? Or do you want to enter the kingdom of God according to Deuteronomy chapter 16, 16 to 17? Enter the kingdom of God with fruit, with work of your labor in Jesus Christ. Make sure you don't enter the kingdom of God with empty hand. Deuteronomy chapter 16, 16, that's the earthly requirement. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he has chosen, that is Jerusalem, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Number one. Number two, at the Feast of Weeks. Feast of Weeks, that is Book of Acts, chapter 2. That's why the 12 apostles, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they led 3,000 people to Christ. They bear a lot of fruit. And the third one, the Feast of Tabernacle. In the millennial kingdom, we all have to go to Jerusalem to attend the Feast of Tabernacle too. And lo and behold, the Egyptians become disobedient. And the Lord punished Egyptians right away, as it is recorded in Zechariah chapter 14, the second last book in the last chapter. In these three feasts, 3 times a year, no man should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Right beside empty-handed, you write down the New Testament teaching according to what Peter is saying. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. Therefore, my brother, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, make sure you bear fruit. You will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Make sure you enter the kingdom of God, you will receive a rich welcome. You don't enter the kingdom of God with an empty hand. Make sure you enter with a lot of fruit. Let's hear what John talked about in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, said the Holy Spirit, they will rest from their labor, and their deeds will follow them. They don't enter the kingdom of God
with an empty hand. Right beside their deeds will follow them. What is their deed? Right beside their deed, you write down 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Their deed in Christ Jesus. Their labor in Christ Jesus. And it is recorded, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Right beside the work of the Lord, that is Revelation chapter 14, 13, that is their deed will follow them. If your work is not the work of the Lord, your labor is in vain. Don't kid yourself, okay? Make sure your deed follow you. Your deed follow you means you don't enter the kingdom of God with an empty hand. You enter the kingdom of God with a lot of fruits. And you will receive a rich welcome into the kingdom of God. When you enter the kingdom of God, you will receive blessing. You will receive rewards. Brother and sister, when you hear the word of God, you just do it. You don't procrastinate. You think it as if God is speaking to you, then so help me God, I want to do it. Then you are the wise virgin. You are ready to go. All right. I read it one more time. 1558. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor, your deeds in the Lord is not in vain. If he tell you to do it, you just do it, you got it. He didn't tell you to do it, you lose it. Who tell you to do it? The Lord said, I didn't tell you to do it. Don't follow the pattern of Aaron, the first two sons. He offered to God according to his own way. Don't follow Cain. He offered to God according to his own way.
Follow the godly people. Whatever is written in the scripture, you do it, and you'll be richly rewarded. All right?
Now, that means we all know every Christian have to serve God, right? Then we know every Christian cannot enter the kingdom of God with an empty hand, right? Am I right? Okay, then that is our job, work out our own salvation. Then what's the job of the Holy Spirit? The job of the Holy Spirit is he give you the spiritual gifts. Okay? Take a look at the spiritual gift. The spiritual gift given to you, given to me, is for the common good of the whole body. For the common good of the whole body. Okay? If it's just for your own good, that becomes a cancer. If for the common good, and that is the blessing, that's normal growth. Okay? Verse 8. To one that is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. Some people receive from the Holy Spirit the message of wisdom. What is the message of wisdom? When he speaks, you start to fear God. You write down Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. I'm sorry, the other way around. Chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you hear the message of wisdom, you start to fear God. That is the message of wisdom. Some people receive the message of knowledge. Right beside the message of knowledge, you write down Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
And right beside knowledge, you also write down
1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Some people claim that he know God, and yet he did not obey God. And Apostle John say, you do not know God. If you know God, you obey him. You do according to what he say. That is the true knowledge. True knowledge of God. And right beside wisdom, there are two kinds of wisdom. One kind of wisdom is earthly wisdom. The earthly wisdom, they don't fear God, okay? The other is earthly wisdom is the worldly wisdom, okay? Another wisdom is from heaven. It's godly wisdom. I read that to you. James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life. If you have a good life, by thee done in humility, that wisdom is from heaven. Verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is the earthly, is the worldly, is unspiritual, is of the devil. It's not from the Holy Spirit. But where you have envy and where you have selfish ambition for your own good, not for the good of the others, not for the good of the body, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, and then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemaker who sow in peace, raise a harvest of righteousness. There are two kinds of wisdom, brother and sister. You have to discern it. When you hear the worldly wisdom, it will cause division in the church. But you hear the heavenly wisdom, you have one unit. Just like Ephesians chapter 4, turn back. Paul said that make every effort to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Holy Spirit through the bond of peace. Because we are all members of one body. We are just part of the body. We are not the whole body. Jesus Christ is the body. Jesus Christ's body is the church. The church is the body of Christ. So, people attending the church, they are the member of the body. They are not the whole body. Okay? Now go back. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. To another by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you faith. Right beside faith, you write that down. Faith in here. What is that? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse what? Verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. That faith is given by the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. That faith is given by God. So what's the difference? There's no difference. Because according to Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 24, God is spirit. And then when you look at the Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing the message comes from the word of Christ. That means faith also comes from Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul said, the Lord is the Spirit. And His word is Spirit, 663. So no difference. I say that one more time. When you have faith in Jesus Christ, it's come from Holy Spirit. Come from the Holy Son, Jesus Christ. Come from the Holy God. And come from His word. The more the word of God within your heart, the higher your faith is. Why? Because the more you study, the more you find out that He gives you so much blessing, then with this kind of blessing, and with the fear of the Lord, and with humility, then you can resist temptation. Then you can do the will of God. Without the will of God, when people did it, you did it. When the other people don't do it, you don't do it. Because you have no faith. You're not moved by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now keep going. What other spiritual gifts the Holy Spirit gives? Another gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous power. You see, take a look at Paul, take a look at Peter. They all have the message of wisdom, they all have the message of of knowledge, they all have faith, and they all have the gift of healing. They all have a miraculous power. And even Peter in verse 10, to another prophecy. And Peter prophesied too. Okay? Same as Paul. So in other words, as far as they are concerned, they have more than one gift. Okay? At the same time, we have all also more than one gift. Okay? And when you find out that you have less gifts than the other people, you look at your monthly salary. If you find out that you don't earn enough, what do you do? You can ask for it too, right? But you have to work hard. If you don't work hard, you ask for it, you're asking for layoff, right? Right? So in the same way, if you find out that you don't have more gifts than other people, then you go to chapter 12, verse 31, eagerly desire the greater gifts. You ask for greater gifts. Next week, a week after, I tell you what the greater gifts. Okay? Remember one thing. Don't be ignorant. We have different gifts. Some are higher level. Some are lower level. What's the lower level of the gifts? I will tell you in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The lower gift is the speaking in tongues. Okay? Unfortunately, those people who attend Pentecostal church, they exhort the speaking in tongues as if it is the highest gift. This is opposed to biblical teaching. Okay? Now keep going. Some people has the gifts, spiritual gifts of discerning between spirit. I want you to write down 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Apostle John said that not every spirit you believe that it is a Holy Spirit. Some spirits are evil spirits. You have to discern it. Don't tell me every word is the word of God. Don't tell me every spirit is the Spirit of God. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. every spirit that acknowledge Jesus is the Christ has come in the flesh, acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh to die on the cross for us, that spirit is from God. That spirit is from the Holy Spirit. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus, that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. This is the spirit of Antichrist. This is the evil spirit. He's the ruler of the power of the air, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Verse 4. You, dear children, that means the children of God. You are from God because you are born again. You believe in Jesus Christ. And you have overcome the evil spirit. Not singular, plural. Because the one who is in you, that's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is greater than the evil spirit who is in the world. All right? Some people has the gifts of discerning, distinguishing between spirit. You know, that is Holy Spirit, that is evil spirit. Apostle John has that. Otherwise, he won't be able to write it down. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongue, and to still another, the interpretations of tongue. And verse 11, all these spiritual gifts are the work of the one and same Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives them to each one. In other words, now, brother and sister, I want you to make sure these are not the only Holy Spirit in here. Where else? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you write down Romans chapter 12, talk about the Holy Spirit too. They talk about the spiritual gifts too. You write that down, chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in according with the measure of faith God has given you. In here, you write that down. God can give you faith. Just like Ephesians, God can give you faith. Just like Romans chapter 10, verse 17, Jesus Christ, through his word, can give you faith. Just like 12:9, Holy Spirit will give you faith. But the evil spirit give you faithless man. Okay? He didn't give you faith. Okay? So in Christ, so where are we? I repeat that in verse 3 again. In according with the measure of faith God has given you, verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, right beside the function, you write down, chapter 12, verse 6, there are different kinds of working. There are different kinds of working. There's function. Chinese translation is good. Gong yong. Okay? Okay, keep going. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same working, do not have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belong to all the other. We belong to all the other, that means keep the unity of the Spirit, okay? Because that's one body. And we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's a teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. Encouraging is a spiritual gift, just like Balaba has that. If it is contributing to the need of others, if it's giving, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. All these are spiritual gifts. Not just in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, also in Romans chapter 12. All these are spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, go back. But we know that these spiritual gifts is given by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to say that too, okay? Don't ever tell me that only spiritual gift is given by the Holy Spirit. According to Ephesians chapter 4, the spiritual gift is given by who? Jesus Christ. Okay? Don't just gung-ho on one portion of the scripture. What is given by the Holy Spirit also means given by Jesus Christ, also means given by God, right? Don't just gung-ho on that, okay? Go back to Ephesians chapter 4. God give the gifts to the church. Chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us given, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. In here, as Christ apportioned it. And the other part, in chapter 12, verse 8, as what? As the Holy Spirit determined, right? Chapter 12, verse 11. The Holy Spirit give the spiritual gift to each one just as the Holy Spirit determined. Okay? Right beside, just as Holy Spirit determined in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, just as Christ apportioned it. Okay? This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Jesus Christ gave spiritual gifts to men. And what kind of spiritual gift? I jump because not enough time. Verse 11. It was Jesus Christ who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for work of service. God gives you spiritual gift so that you have to serve God. Okay? Don't bury the gifts under the ground. You'll be in deep, deep trouble. Okay? According to the parable of the vineyard. To prepare God's people for the work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Make sure that you build up the body of Christ. Make sure you build up the church. You tear down the church, God tear down your house. God tear down your work. God tear down your ministry. Like David, build the temple of God, and God build his house forever and ever. To prepare God's people for work of service so that the body of Christ, so that the church may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When people look at you, they say, I see Christ living in you. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The last part, verse 12. The body is a unit. Make sure you don't divide the body. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Make sure you not only baptize by water, make sure you baptize by the Holy Spirit into one body. I want you to write that down. Baptized by one Spirit into one body. You write down Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Because God promised Abraham, he's going to bless him and bless his son, his seed. And that seed is not Isaac. That seed is Jesus Christ. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The scripture does not say to seeds, meaning many people, but to your seed, singular, meaning one person, who is Christ. Brother and sister, if you want to get the blessing Abraham received, the promised Holy Spirit, make sure you not only have water baptism, you also have spiritual baptism. Make sure the Holy Spirit enter into your heart. When the Holy Spirit enter into your heart, you have eternal life. When the Holy Spirit enters into your heart, you have eternal inheritance, because there's a guarantee you're going to get it. When the Holy Spirit enters into your heart, that means you can serve God with the Holy Spirit that He gave it to you. I know for sure you're going to enter the kingdom of God not empty-handed. You're going to reign with Jesus forever and ever. That's why make sure that you have that power to serve God, doing the work of the Lord. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free man, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Make sure you keep on drinking the Holy Spirit. Keep on studying the Word of God. The more the better. And one of these days, you're totally controlled by the Holy Spirit. And when you do work, your labor will not be in vain. The labor will follow you. Our Heavenly Father, we heard what you have said to us. And I pray, O Lord, that you help us not to be ignorant, and help us to remember what we have heard, so that we be blessed by you. I don't want to enter the kingdom of God with empty-handed. I want to enter the kingdom of God with rich blessing. I pray that you can welcome us with rich blessing, and that we can hear from you saying to us that we are good and faithful servants. And we're going to reign with you. We're going to inherit the inheritance. We're going to inherit the eternal life. Help us, O Lord, enter into our heart, just like what we have sung. Let the Holy Spirit fill our heart. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.